and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Never change. And we are amazed as you keep inviting us in, to keep knowing you, to keep learning you. You're the great I am. You are who you are, and you are who you'll be, and you're who you've always been. And we're stepping into faith today. We're stepping into your presence today. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. So, just as I start, let me apologize, we're having a bit of difficulty with our sound today. Some of you might have thought it's your data or your Wi-Fi. It's not. It's on our end, but just hang on with us, and we'll have it fixed for when we come back to you. So, oopsie. There's something special that happened with the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus. We are 7 days after Easter, we're a week after Easter, and you know, 1 minute they are afraid and they are hiding and they're disappointed, and they had seen Jesus and all he had done and everything he had taught, and for some reason at this point they're just afraid, they're scared because they had seen him put to death, and then Jesus comes back to life. And the next thing you know, these people are confident. These people are full of faith again. These people are ready to risk their life for the same message. Something changed at the resurrection. Something changed with the resurrection. They had received the same message, but they were in hiding 7 days ago. Now, the same message, but after resurrection, they have faith. They're ready to even put their lives down. And actually, they didn't know it at that point, but later on, almost all of them died because of this message. A different story. There's a guy called Paul, and I'm guessing I mention him quite a lot. So this guy comes into the story as a hater of the Jesus movement. He is persecuting, arresting, and even overseeing the murder of people who are following Jesus. And he is passionate about this because he really believes he's doing it for God. And then there's a change. All of a sudden, he is ready to die for the same message he persecuted people for. And actually, he does get arrested, imprisoned, and dies for this message. What happened? What happened? I think there are two things that happened with the disciples. And one is the encounter with the risen Jesus. And two, receiving the Holy Spirit. These two things transformed them completely. The resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. After they encountered the resurrected Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these guys would go around saying, hey, we are eyewitnesses. We walked with him. We heard him. We loved him. Then we saw him die. And then he came back to us. We're telling you of things we have seen. We touched him again. We think he's the real deal. We think he's everything he said he was. The encounter with Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed everything. Those two things became the lens through which they interpreted their experience with Jesus before his death and their lives moving forward after his resurrection and ascension to heaven. And I think it still makes a difference today. This is, for me, I'm hoping that this is not just a series for another series' sake. I really believe that Jesus is encountering people to this day, the resurrected Christ. People are having encounters with him. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out. And these two things can completely transform our lives. And my prayer is that even as we walk through these series, this series together, that some of you will encounter Jesus afresh or again or for the first time. And some of you will receive the Holy Spirit afresh or for the first time. Because these two things change everything. It changed a bunch of people from scared to, I am ready to die for this. And they actually did. So today I want us to get into an interesting story, so, you know, because we want to start looking at these different encounters and what they meant and what they did to the lives of these people. So we'll start with actually the first encounter. And that story is told by one of Jesus' friends called John. But we're going to get into the middle of the story, so I want to catch us up a bit. So after Jesus died, there are certain burial rituals that were common in their culture that couldn't have been done because it was the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was set aside for worship, for rest as worship. It was very important, so they couldn't do these things. So some of the ladies wake up Sunday morning to go do the things they couldn't do on the Saturday. And when they get to the tomb where they laid Jesus, it's empty. His body is missing. So that's where we come in the story I'm reading today in John 20, 11 to 18. So Mary, however, stood outside the tomb, sobbing, crying, and kneeling at its entrance. And she cried. As she cried, two angels appeared before her, sitting where Jesus' head and feet had been laid. One of them said to her, "Dear woman, why are you weeping?" Mary replied, "They have taken away my Lord and I cannot find him." After uttering these words, she turned around to see Jesus standing before her, but she did not recognize him. Jesus said to her, "Dear woman, why are you sobbing? Who is it you're looking for?" She still had no idea who it was before her. Thinking he was just the gardener, she muttered, "Sir, if you are the one who's carried him away, tell me where you have laid his body so that I can go and retrieve him." "Mary," Jesus called her. Mary Magdalene turned to Jesus and spoke in Hebrew, "Rabboni, my teacher." Jesus said to her, "Mary, you cannot hold me. I must rise above the world to be with my Father, who is also your Father, my God, who is also your God. Go tell this to all my brothers." Mary Magdalene obeyed and went directly to his disciples. See, one of the reasons I love the Bible is its honesty as it tells some of these stories. You know, there's nothing neat about the stories that the Bible tells. At least that's not the attempt, because this is not a neat story. It's just people who were caught up in the wonder and in the awe of God telling their experience with Jesus or with God. They're just telling their stories and they're not trying to make it neat. You know, here is Jesus risen from the dead, but Mary thinks it's the gardener. You know, church has spent history painting Jesus after resurrection with glow and pretty and smart and beautiful. But Mary didn't see that glow. Mary was looking at Jesus and she's thinking, this must be the gardener. There was nothing neat about that. You know, and interestingly, in contrast to the Christmas story, Jesus appears after resurrection, which is really one of the most important part of the story. But Jesus appears after resurrection, and he looks like a gardener. He's got some bit of dirt, maybe from the tomb or from the earth around. But at his birth, there were angels singing in the sky. There was a big star in the sky. And you'd think, but everybody needs to know he is risen, and everybody will. But at this moment, It looks almost less loud, like the time of his birth. You don't tell stories like this if you want them believable. You don't tell stories like this if you're going to sell to people that this was God. So this looks to me like a very honest story. Then the other thing is, Women, as eyewitnesses, in this culture, women were not even allowed to testify in court. They were not allowed to give any witness. But so why would anyone make Mary one of the first people that sees Jesus? Unless you're just telling the story as you experienced it. So Mary's here hurting and grieving. And you know, I think we often forget that these are natural human experiences. We sometimes know the stories too well. We forget the natural human experiences that are being described here. Mary is hurting and she's grieving. And I know times where I've been hurting and grieving. And I throw caution to the wind and I stomp. And I feel like this is what Mary is doing. She says, show me where you've hidden him so that I can go get him. Which, you know, is a bit weird. If Mary believes she can carry a dead body by herself, that's kind of weird. I've watched enough TV shows to know you don't trust such people. But then this is a grieving woman. She's hurting. She's ready to do anything. Show me where the body of my friend and my teacher is. I will get him myself. Then Jesus calls her name. Jesus starts speaking to her. But interestingly, he's not rebuking her. You'd think he'd say, seriously, I've just been gone 3 days and you've forgotten me? Really? Is that how it rolls? Instead, Jesus has compassion. Instead, Jesus realizes his friend is grieving. And so he speaks to her with a lot of compassion. Woman, dear woman, who are you looking for? Mary. And the moment Jesus calls her name in familiarity, Mary realizes that this is my friend. This is my master. This is my Lord. And as soon as she regains, you know, because it's not an easy experience when you saw your friend die and now he's standing in front of you. So as soon as Mary gained her dexterity, I can imagine all she wanted was to go and grab Jesus and embrace him again. But Jesus says, no, 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 you can't hold on to me now. Go tell my brothers. Jesus comforts her and says, hey, I am yet to go to my God, who is your God, my Father, who is your Father. But right now, go tell the brothers. Go tell your brothers and sisters. It appears to me that Jesus' first mission after resurrection is this encounter to comfort a grieving family, to comfort grieving friends, to comfort his grieving disciples. Maybe no wonder it doesn't have the glow and the hullabaloo that we often paint it with. And I get it. It's some of our paintings are artistic expressions of our theology and maybe even our hopes and but maybe it seems that to Jesus the dirt of the grave cannot water down. The gloom cannot hold life. Death cannot hold life. So he says, go tell my brothers and sisters, go share with them this joy. And I think I see the picture of the prophecy that this same guy, John, had in a vision he had. He prophesied that he will wipe away their tears. I see the picture of that prophecy right now. Because Jesus is saying, hey, Mary, go tell the brothers and the sisters. His first mission is to comfort people who've been longing for him, people who've been hurting. Hey, go tell my brothers and sisters. I think this is why Paul calls God the God of all comfort. It seems that it is important to God to comfort his people, to wipe away their tears, because he knows they've been wounded. He knows they've been longing. He knows that some of them have just been saying, God, say something because I'm giving up on you, and some actually have. God says, Go tell my brothers and sisters, you've seen me. And, you know, something interesting, it's really hard to comfort people if you haven't been in the same situation as they, you could try and it helps, but people who've experienced something have a unique way to speak life to those going through the same thing. And here, Jesus is doubling down. God is doubling down on humility. If you think that being born in a manger, being born in a feeding trough was humble, how about the king, crowned, risen from the dead? He's defeated death. He's defeated sin. But he wakes up. He's risen from the dead. And there's no glow about it. He's confused for the gardener. He's got dirt on him. He's got scars on him. God is doubling down on humility again. You know, as Mary's looking at Jesus, she knows that he understands. She knows that he knows the deaths that she had to die inside her when she saw him die. She knows the confusion that all the disciples had during the silence. She knows, she's looking at Jesus and she can tell that this one understands. He has been through it all. And I think this could have been one of the inspirations for Peter, another disciple of Jesus, when he later wrote, cast your burdens, throw your burdens and your cares recklessly to Jesus because he actually cares. Because when they encountered Jesus, they could see that he did care. They could see that he had gone through it with them. They could see that he had died with them. So you can throw your wounds from years of disbelief and unbelief because he actually cares. We can throw our fears for the future on him because he actually does care. You can throw your need for forgiveness on him because he actually does care. We can throw our desperation for God to move in our families, in our land, in our nation, in this world. We can throw all that recklessly on him because he actually cares. And he makes it a priority to bring comfort. That when he encounters people, when people encounter the risen Jesus, he brings comfort. A comfort that led Mary to go back and say, I have seen the Lord. Mary went back to the disciples and said, I have seen him. I have seen the Lord. So here's my invitation. Throw your burden, throw your worry, throw your care recklessly on Jesus because he actually cares. Because he actually cares. And you know, I think God is about to show up in our lives in undeniable ways. Mary could not deny that she had met Jesus. She saw a gardener, but heard this person speak to him, and something burned in her heart. She knew this was her master, her Lord, her friend. Mary could not deny that she had seen Jesus' life. She went running and said, hey, I have seen him. I have seen the Lord. And I think God is going to show up for some of you in undeniable ways. It could be miraculous provision. It could be physical healing. And some is going to be happening. It could be God bringing comfort to you. God is going to break the cycles of mourning and bring joy, unexpected joy, a joy that will make us startle for a bit. But once we experience it, we will have nothing to say but, I have seen the Lord. A joy that will transform us to be ready to even lay our lives for the message that Jesus is alive and he is living to this day and he's inviting all of us. And then Jesus tells Mary, don't hold me yet. Go tell my brothers and sisters. And Mary goes. Because that's the other piece. One of the things that will be happening is as Jesus shows up for you guys is that he's inviting you. Don't sit there. I mean, stay at home. But go tell your brothers and sisters that you have seen me. Don't keep quiet about it. Don't stay silent. As God provides, as God heals, as God brings comfort, as Jesus shows up to you in undeniable ways, he's saying, don't be silent about it. Tell your brothers and sisters that I am alive. And Mary goes and says, I have seen him. I have seen the Lord. And as I was writing this, I had just this deep sense that some of us expected that their struggles with mental health would be harder in this season. And you know what? I think this is a difficult season. And so let's keep checking in with each other. Let's check in with our mental health. And at the same time, I think there are those who thought that they would struggle even harder, but God is actually healing people of clinical depression. And so if that's you, just speak that. And it would be good if we hear some of those stories, if any of you are out there. But here's the other thing. God's going to heal you in undeniable ways because you didn't even expect to be free. And he's asking, go then tell your brothers and sisters, I have seen the Lord. The other picture I got is I think there's some of us who've accepted Jesus in this time, but they're afraid of telling their literal family, their immediate family, because you think they wouldn't believe it. And for you, Jesus is indeed saying, yes, call your brothers and sisters, some of them need it, and say, I have seen the Lord. So here's my invitation. As we wait on God, he's going to show up for you guys. He's going to show up in ways you couldn't deny. Then don't stay silent. Let's pray. God, you're alive. And you're here with us today. And you're in the rooms we're watching from. And right now you're meeting each one of us. And I pray that your spirit reveals the risen Christ to people listening to us in ways that they couldn't deny. God of all comfort, I pray that your comfort rests on those who are hearing my voice who need your comfort today. Let your kingdom break through. Again and again and again, until our hearts cannot deny, until our feet cannot stay steady, until our voices cannot keep quiet, but to say, Lord, we have seen you. You're moving, you're healing, you're providing, you're giving hope. And God, even for those struggling with depression today, just ask that your healing hand rests on them and free them. In Jesus' name.